Big chance for the Jays. Pitch is hit sharply, but right at third. Right there is Morrell. He'll fire on high to first base, but Adam Dunn, the big guy, goes up and gets it, and that'll do it for the Blue Jays as the opportunity gets by here in the seventh inning.
And that was the Blue Jays' last great opportunity to score, so that is our play of the game brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch the Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go at rogersondemand.com. Mark Tehan, who had a spectacular day in the field, gets robbed by Brent Morrell there with runners on the corners and two out in the bottom of the seventh inning after Colby Rasmus had beaten out a double play ball to stay alive. Mike McCoy would lead off the eighth inning with his second major league home run, and that would be the only run the Blue Jays would score. They fall 2-1 to the Chicago White Sox. And in case you're wondering, we were telling you about the Red Sox and the Orioles. Jonathan Papelbon's on the mound. So, of course, throughout that entire commercial break, the same at bat is still going on. I think he threw two pitches. Adam Jones is at the plate with a tying run at second, a 2-2 count on him in the bottom of the ninth. The Red Sox lead the Orioles 8-7. If Boston wins, they remain tied with the Rays for the American League wild card. If the Orioles come back and win, the Rays clinch at least a tie for the wild card. And they're pretty much as assured of winning tomorrow's game as you can be, because Joe Girardi still doesn't have any pitchers, and he's not going to use Rafael Soriano or Mariano Rivera in tomorrow's game. Girardi complained today about the playoff schedule like it snuck up on him, like you haven't known when the playoffs have started since April. But today he decided, no, I don't know what to do now. Ridiculous. The sense of entitlement that New York Yankees have is just, it's disgusting. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls on the Jays talk. And let's start off with Mark in Mississauga. Hello, Mark.
Hey. You know what? Just driving home and listening to you, I kind of tuned into the fan earlier today talking about Toronto sports. I just think the Jays are on such a cusp of really propelling sports fans in the city to really get excited again about a winning team. And I got to be honest, I'm kind of disappointed with the season. And I don't know, you know, if it's 100% justified. You know, you're normally pretty on point with a lot of statistics, but to me, it just feels like there's a lot of question marks, and I actually feel that the managing, like the team underperformed, and I don't get how it just feels like Sportsnet, the Rogers affiliate, it just feels like I'm being programmed to believe that the team is actually moving forward, where my common sense is kicking in and telling me Tampa Bay, Boston, New York, even if we expand the playoffs, this team has, you know, it's not a free pass that if they extend the playoff system that we get in. And I think that, you know, I like to see a little bit more honest journalism when it comes to the team. I know there's Canadians and all these great stories, but Batista, he made me feel good. I'm happy with his performance. He kind of tailed off maybe the second half in the media's eyes and a lot of people's eyes. But I don't know, like, am I really to believe that this team is supposed to be on the cusp of something? Or is this team worse than last year?
Well, it depends on what you believe by cusp. And before I answer that, I'll tell you that Jonathan Papelbon finally got Adam Jones to ground out to third, so it's over. The Red Sox and Rays, this is specifically just for you, but what the heck. The Red Sox and Rays are going to tomorrow tied for the wild card in the American League. 10th pitch of the at-bat. So the Red Sox beat the Orioles 8-7. It depends on what you mean by cusp. If you mean, are the Blue Jays going to the playoffs next year?
Yes.
I don't think the Blue Jays are going to the playoffs next year.
Isn't and I don't that a think. Tough sell?
Pardon me?
Isn't that a tough sell in the city? Like right now,
nobody's selling that, Mark. I don't think there's anyone.
You're going to have to sell that. I'll be honest.
Okay,
One ticket. I bought one ticket this year, went to a game, took my family, had a good time. But really, if you want to take I think Toronto sports as a whole, you can't come to me and my family and my vacation time and try to sell me, come watch the game. You got to sell to me, we're trying to make the playoffs. We're trying to win the World Series. it just doesn't work with me. Come and see the young.
Okay,
kids.
And that's all right. But you know what? The truth of the matter is,
yeah,
is if you do that when you're not prepared to win the World Series, or if you make a move to move your timetable ahead 2 or 3 years when your team's not good enough to do that, all you're going to do is wind up shooting yourself in the foot and moving back a few years, and then it's going to be even longer until you can get there. But
I disagree. Just final point.
Yeah.
I just think that makes us, because earlier today was about the city of losers, Toronto, nobody wins. And I think that's the number one attitude, this cautious, unafraid. Like, I heard the New York Rangers, one of the GMs, talk something along the lines of, you know what, we're going to win the Stanley Cup. Yeah, what are the odds, the probability of that? But you know what? I think the city of Toronto, the amount of money that we spend, how we get gouged on paying overpriced for a lot of things, I just think we deserve an owner, a team, any one of the major teams just to come out and say, you know what, we're going to go 110% for the championship. We're going to get 4 free agents, 2 pitchers, starting pitchers. We're going to try to do whatever it takes to win. And I tell you, you know what, this year after year after year of watching and rebuilding, of all, the, not just the Jays, all the sports teams, it just sucks. And I think that, you know, the Blue Jays, out of all the franchises, I just felt that they were on the cusp of something. And, you know, if you take the attitude again this year of trying to say, you know what, we're not really going to say we're going to try to make the playoffs, you're going to lose a lot. You're going to lose me.
Okay,
that's,
well,
whatever that's worth.
Right, whatever that's worth, then consider yourself lost. Because, unfortunately, the Blue Jays, what they're doing, and I guess you've just missed the message all year, and that's okay. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people tune in and out, and you're not hanging on every word, and that's fine. But the message is what Alex Anthopoulos is trying to do is build a team that's going to be great and sustainably great year after year after year, over and over and over again. And you can't snap your fingers and make that happen. That's something that takes time and that takes building. And you got to make smart moves and you got to make the right moves. And some of the moves are going to be right and they're not going to work. And some of the moves, you're going to strike gold where you never expected it. But it takes time. The Blue Jays are not likely to make the playoffs next year. They could. Everything could come together a little early, and they could wind up doing what the Tampa Bay Rays did in 2008. But the likelihood of that is pretty slim. And I know Toronto wants a winner, and I know losing sucks. I've lived in this city my entire life, and I am as starved for a championship as everybody else who's listening to this program. But saying, I want it now, so it better happen now, doesn't change anything. To do it right is to do it right. And to do it right takes time. And one hopes they're doing it right. Azam is in Milton. Hello.
Hey, Mike. So I just want to say, I mean, hopefully the team ends at 500 tomorrow, but it's been an exciting season nonetheless. I mean, some good positives coming out of it. I mean, the guys they've locked up for a while have done better. Like, I mean, Escobar, Bautista, Romero, I mean, the guys who are locked in for a longer period of time.
Yep.
I don't know if, once again, I mean, because they won 86 games last year, I think.
85.
85 wins, sorry. Close. And expectations were that they'll automatically win 90 this year. Again, it's frustrating to
not
listen
on this
to
end.
This. And, I mean, I just want to say, I understand. I mean, we haven't won since 93 or the Leafs haven't won since 67. But in all honesty, Anthopoulos can't take responsibility to what happened before he was here. I mean, we can just put together a team, and when that's supposed to happen, it will happen. Again, like, can't put a timeline to this thing. Might as well just enjoy baseball. I mean, every game for what it is. And maybe you'll have a better time enjoying the game. I don't know. I mean, it's sometimes frustrating to listen to a lot of even so-called experts, you know, saying that how this year was so disappointing and how the team should have won 90 games or what the expectations were.
Yeah, I think you're right in a lot of what you're saying, and I'm sure the caller that we just had on is screaming at the radio, telling the, you know, talking about how you're a sheep just buying into whatever everyone is selling you. But the truth of the matter is, you're bang on. I don't know, and I think back to spring training, which honestly feels like 2 weeks ago to me. But I think back to spring training and people calling and saying, well, the Jays won 85 games last year. There's no reason they shouldn't win 90 last year. And I said steadfastly from the first day, people were trying to pin me down to a prediction, and I wouldn't pick a number. But I said the Blue Jays, I think, are going to win somewhere between 78 and 83 games this season. They'll be around 500, not quite as good as last year, but have a chance to surprise. And that's exactly what they did because, you know, it's tough not to get excited. And maybe the way this season is finishing up is better. Maybe the way Colby Rasmus is kind of crawling to the finish line will lower expectations. And that next year when he comes out and if he has the year that I think he can have, people will be thrilled. Kelly Johnson, if he comes back, Adam Lind could all come back and be better than they were. And maybe that's better than the way Brandon Morrow finished up last year so strong, the way Brett Cecil finished up, what we saw from Kyle Drabek last year that got expectations set so high. I don't know, to be honest with you, but I think you're right, and I appreciate the call. The Blue Jays are going to win either 80 or 81 games this year. And to me, when you look at the team, and I didn't mention this to the first caller, and I should have, it is impossible to say that the Blue Jays underachieved this year. This is a season that started with Corey Patterson and Juan Rivera and JoJo Reyes. And there was no reason to expect them to be around 500 unless they overachieved. And here they are, the most consistent team in baseball in 2011. Never more than four games over 500, never more than five games under 500. And they are probably going to finish dead even at 500 because that would just be fitting the way this year has gone. Laura is in Etobicoke. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I'm going to be so brief. It's not even funny. What do you think of Mike McCoy's chances for being with the team next year? I don't know how long he signed for, but is he going to come back? Because I'm really liking, he's not going to be a full-time, you know, position player, but I really like just having him on the team. I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Let me ask you this, Laura. If Mike McCoy is back, John McDonald probably isn't.
Oh, that's tough.
Which one do you want?
Well, I like Mike McCoy, but you know, Johnny Mack's just got that, this city just, you know, when everybody was so upset that he left, you know, I guess if I had to pick, I'd probably want to pick Johnny Mack just because he's just got that consistency. That's a tough call. I don't know.
Well, here's the difference. Mike McCoy is a little bit of a better hitter than John McDonald. I think it's fair to say, at least getting on base.
Right.
And Mike McCoy can play the outfield and John McDonald can't. But John McDonald is a much better defensive infielder than Mike McCoy is. And he just does, it's true, have that something about him. He's a guy you absolutely want on a team. But McCoy's a pretty terrific guy, too.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a very tough decision. But chances are
right. They're
both back.
McCoy would
be on the roller coaster just like he was this year.
Exactly.
All the way up and down.
Because I've met Johnny Mack, and he's the nicest guy.
Yes, he is.
And I'm sure Mike McCoy is, too. I just haven't met him. But. Yes. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for both.
All right. I think you'll get both, but they both won't be on the team at the same time too often. We are going to step away for a second, but if you're on hold, stay on hold. We will extendo the Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com. We have to. It's the last one. Blue Jays fall 2-1 to the Chicago White Sox. They cannot finish this season with a winning record. But they might not finish the season with a losing record. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network.
McCoy lines one deep to left field. Long high drive. Back is Pierre. Up it goes, and there she goes. Home run, Mike McCoy. Just his second. And the Blue Jays are in flight here in the eighth inning, now trailing the White Sox 2-1.
But that would be the only run the Blue Jays would get, as Eric Thames drew a walk. Jose Bautista struck out. Chris Sale came on to strike out Adam Lind. And then on the 0-2 pitch to Jose Molina, Thames took off and A.J. Pierzynski threw him out. Interesting idea. I don't hate it, because you at least get Molina up with a new count the next inning, and A.J. Pierzynski is a terrible throwing catcher. Thames almost beat it. I kind of thought he might have. And then Sale strikes out Jose Molina and Kelly Johnson in the ninth. And after J.P. Arencibia singles, Chris Woodward comes off the bench to pinch hit for Colby Rasmus and hits a slow roller to third. Brent Morrell makes a nice play, and the White Sox beat the Blue Jays 2-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the final postgame Jays talk of the 2011 season. Phone lines are open. I think there's one, maybe. See if you can sneak in at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Keeping an eye on the St. Louis Cardinals and the Houston Astros, they're in the top of the eighth. Cards lead 9-6. If they win, they will be tied for the National League wild card because the Braves already lost. The Red Sox and Rays are tied for the American League wild card. They both won today. And how cool is this? The Red Sox, Rays, and Braves are all 90-71. The Cardinals... oh, no, they're not. I lied. Sorry. Braves lost. Forgot about that. Red Sox and Rays are 90-71. Cardinals are 88-72, and the Braves are 89-72. So there might be one game difference between the four wildcard teams this season. Pretty amazing stuff, the way this is going down to the wire. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Keeping an eye on the Twitter as well. Find me at Wilderness590, and it seems that at Jerry Howarth is a little upset with me because he tweeted, I think the tweet was, in my 31 years in the broadcast booth, I've never seen a Blue Jays rookie starter like Henderson Alvarez. Which is what Jerry said. But this isn't Jerry. This is somebody pretending to be Jerry. And he has told me it's surprising that I don't understand the word tribute. This is not a tribute. Pretending to be another living human being is not a tribute. It's kind of sick. And it's unwelcome. Anyway, I'm watching the Twitter, so if you want to add something on the Twitter, let me know, and we'll sneak into the show that way. Unless you want to call 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We go to Raptorize John in Toronto. Hello, John.
Yo, Miguel, my man. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good, man. Well, I just want to say that we Blue Jay fans should be very happy that we're not Chicago Cubs fans. When you look at the history of the game and the number of years Blue Jays have been around compared to Chicago, I mean, we could really have nothing to complain about.
No, there's no question about that. The Blue Jays have two more World Series championships than the Chicago Cubs do over the last 102 seasons.
Yeah, so imagine if you were stuck in Chicago, boy, it'll be like, we'd be jumping off bridges. But anyway, I'm really impressed with the no-walk kid we got here now. We pitched tonight, you know, what he got, eight walks
and 10 starts.
10 starts, and that's really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
You know, so I think that if he's not a flash in the pan, then maybe we don't have to go out and look for a starter next year. You know,
well, it's you know what? It's easy to get sucked in. That's the problem. And you have to remember that he's still 21. This is what people were saying about Kyle Drabek at the same time last year.
Yeah, but look, we got all crazy old Laurie, who at third base, right?
Yep.
You know, how are you saying that? You know,
I've actually said a couple of times that it wouldn't surprise me if Laurie went back to the minor leagues at some point. I think at this point it would surprise me, but
okay, thank you.
But at 21, you know, yeah, everybody should have learned their lesson with Travis Snyder, with Kyle Drabek. More than anything else, people have been so quick to jump off these guys and now talk about how terrible they are, when Snyder was very, very good his first month in the big leagues. He hit over 300. He didn't put up the numbers that Laurie did by any means, but he hit over 300 and he did a great job. And Kyle Drabek had three very nice starts at the end of last season that had everybody saying, you know, maybe they don't need any more pitchers and this guy's going to be their fourth starter next year. So all I'm saying is, just when you praise Henderson Alvarez, remember what you think of Kyle Drabek. And when you praise Brett Laurie, remember what you think of Travis Snyder, because the situations are very similar.
But this is Toronto, man. We just a closer away from the World Series, man. You know that, Mike?
yeah, that's right.
Anyway, well, he looks good for this year. I just hope he's not a flash of the pan. And I think that that Alex should spend some of this money Roger has, you know, to get a bona fide free agent.
Like who?
Get somebody. Well, I really don't know what's available, but
yeah,
you know,
there aren't a lot of prizes out there. There's Prince Fielder, there's Albert Pujols, and that's about it.
Okay, well, maybe we'll wait. But I would like to see a better bat behind Jose.
Okay. All right, John, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. It is, and it happens all the time here on this program. It's easy to say spend money, but tell me what to spend the money on. What's out there? Joe Sicilia reminds me that Heath Bell is a free agent. So is Jonathan Papelbon. But the last thing you want to do is throw big money at a closer. Absolute last thing you want to do. Especially in the position that the Blue Jays are in right now, which is not one player away. Am I seeing a three-run homer in Houston? I am seeing a three-run homer in Houston, but it's a three-run homer for the St. Louis Cardinals. Alan Craig is 10th of the year, so you can pretty much stick a fork in the Astros tonight. It is 12-6 St. Louis in the top of the eighth inning, and it appears, writ, that the Cards and the Braves will be tied for the NL wildcard going into tomorrow's season finale. Andrew is in Toronto. Andrew.
Boy, was Yogi Berra right when he said it ain't over till it's over, eh?
Yes, and that restaurant is much too busy. Nobody goes there anymore.
Anyways, I wanted to say quickly before I get to my point that if you told me at the beginning of the season the Jays would be 500 or thereabouts, I would have been thrilled. I think it's been a really enjoyable season. I've been enjoying seeing the players develop. Got to about a quarter of the games. This is a team that is worth you know, worth your time and worth your money. And
13 walk-offs at home this year.
So much fun. I think I saw about 10 of those.
See?
Yeah, and I think you hear some of the earlier callers, there's a sense of being really impatient, you know, but it doesn't work that way. And you were making the earlier point about free agency, and everyone's talking about the Jays should go out and spend a lot of money in free agency. I imagine the reason they're saying that is they're thinking that you have to do what the Yankees or the Red Sox do. Thing is, when the Yankees were winning the four World Series in 5 years, that wasn't like big ticket free agents. It was a core that they took a lot of time to develop, and then they'd sign, you know, not the big ticket guys, but, you know, complimentary guys like, you know, Paul O'Neill, Scott Brosius, people who, you know, were character guys, filled a role. And I'd like to see the Jays do that more than, I guess, do the kind of New York Mets style thing where you sign the shiniest big ticket free agent. But that doesn't develop you into a winner. I don't think that happens very often.
Well, it wasn't all the players they developed. I mean, the Yankee...
But the core, you have to say, like, the core of that fabulous five they had...
Yes, was a developed core, and that's what the Jays are trying to do. You're right. The Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, Mariano Rivera... Yeah.
And the early years...
Derek Jeter, guys like
World
that.
Series, their big free agents weren't... You know, there was the Roger Clemens near the tail end of that. But at the beginning, it was guys who fit roles. You know, you didn't see them spending. You know, it's something that happened when it looked like they were ready to go over the top. That's after there was already a bedrock of success.
They had David Cohn. They had David Wells. These were high-priced guys that they brought over or they kept. But you're right. For the most part, it was. And that's what the Blue Jays are trying to do.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's what they want to build. And you're absolutely right. And you think back, and I don't know how many times we've said this either. Think back to the Jays in the early 90s. And they signed Jack Morris, Dave Winfield, Paul Mahler, Dave Stewart. Those were the final pieces, and they weren't big money free agents. And that's kind of what you have to do. You hope to have a successful long-term thing.
Especially since the Jays have got, you keep hearing about how stacked the farm system is. That would indicate to me the best way to build this team is not necessarily go and sign, a really big-ticket free agent for what they've done in the past for a long period of time, but use that inventory to trade. And I think that if I was a betting man, I'd say you're probably going to see more top people come to Toronto. I don't see that they won't sign free agents, but I think the avenue, the trade, is you're probably going to see more players come to Toronto that way. Use the stock of young, talented people that you have. Like say, at first base, you have, you got a logjam. Is David Cooper going to be a member of this team? I don't know. Probably not, but
David Cooper's not the right guy to bring up because I don't think he fetches a ton in trade, but they do have this incredibly stocked
team. Not on his own. And you're not going to get a top-notch guy back, but you can maneuver these pieces.
Yeah, you can, and Alex Anthopoulos has talked about that, how important the draft is, not just because of the players you can acquire to make your team better, but the players that you can acquire in the draft to go in other directions and in trades. And I do believe, and I said this last night, that the Blue Jays are going to be very active on the trade market, very aggressive, and if any big fish are available, I mean, who knows? I think with Ozzie Guillen going to Florida, maybe Hanley Ramirez is safe there for another year, but it could just be a week of spring training and Ozzie's demanding that they get rid of him.
Yeah.
Cincinnati could dangle Joey Votto. There are a lot of guys who might be dangled, and the Blue Jays are as well stocked as any other team in the major leagues, if not more so, to try to get those guys.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Mike. I've had a great year. It's been fun listening to you guys and looking forward to next year.
Thanks. I appreciate it a lot, Andrew. Thank you very much. Rick is in Caledon East. Rick, you're on the Jays Talk.
Nice to get through to you, Mike.
Thank you for keeping trying.
All these guys are phoning in saying, spend more money and Rogers is a cheap skate. And what I'd like to know, and I don't think you've ever addressed it, you may have, but I suspect that Alex is spending far more money on scouting, coaching, the minor leagues and whatnot than almost any other team in Major League Baseball. Now, I'm wondering if there are any figures out there, separate from the payroll, that cover this sort of area. Because he reminds me of Gord Ash. Gord Ash made a great, play to build up the minor league system. I presume that Alex is putting a lot of money into this that is Roger's money that we don't know about, or maybe we do know about. I just never heard you mention it.
Oh, okay. You got to listen more
even
often.
As a comparative, how do we compare with, say, the Yankees in terms of the money we put out to buy these draft choices or to pick them up, and the coaching? We should be getting a lot more coaching and scouts. That's the first thing Alex did when he came in, was to go out and, increase the number of scouts and whatnot.
Yes, it's very true. We do talk about that a lot, actually. And the Blue Jays do a ton of spending in Latin America. They signed the fourth and fifth highest bonuses among their nine guys. They spent a lot of money in Latin America this summer and last summer. They've spent a lot of money in the draft the last 2 years. They've been in the top, I think, three or four in draft spending the last couple of years. So, yes, they are allocating their resources and spending their money. It doesn't show up, and it doesn't cost you $80 million over 5 years, but, you sign in a Danny Echevarria. They're probably going to be in on you, Darvish. They are spending money. They've started to spend a lot of money very differently.
I think that's sort of hidden. The average fan doesn't realize just how much money they are spending.
Well, the average fan, if they do realize, says, yeah, but you could spend all that on Prince Fielder. And, even if you spent all that money, it still wouldn't get you Prince Fielder.
Yeah.
So they're being cheap.
Yeah, but, and one man is not going to win you the World Series.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Appreciate the call. I like Rick. Anthony is in Markham. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Too bad today's your last show.
We'll be back tomorrow. We just won't have a post-game show tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I'll just make some quick points about the pitching, and then I'll hang up and listen to your commentary. I just got the feeling from the beginning of the season that the Blue Jays were, like, last-minute putting together just rushing to put together a pitching staff when they picked up Botel and another gentleman that I think they were...
Roush and Francisco.
Yeah, that's it. And they were just rushing to put together a pitching staff.
What makes you say that?
It just seemed like they could have gotten someone better than Francisco and also Dotel and Roush.
I didn't get why they signed Dotel, I have to tell you.
I agree with you there.
I didn't get that. But that's a $1.2 million that they wound up paying him for half the season that he was here. And he was part of a piece that got him Colby Rasmus. So it turns out to be a brilliant sign. Roush and Dotel, Roush and Francisco and Fraser and all those guys. Fraser, they'd kind of hoped they would lose as a free agent. But Roush and Francisco were guys who they brought over because for two reasons. One, Alex saw good arms. And two, he saw draft picks. And Roush and Francisco are probably both going to get the Blue Jays a draft pick between the first and second round next year.
But for the life of me, I could not understand why they kept giving so many chances to Jojo Reyes when he clearly couldn't get the job done.
Because it didn't cost him anything. And
but he's not progressing.
But that's what developmental years are for, right? They're for giving guys chances and making sure that you're sure that they're not going to be able to get the job done before you let them go.
I'll make two last comments
quickly.
Okay. I think in the offseason, mate, what do you think of going after a guy like Mark Burley? I was watching the game today. They said he's a free agent. Why not?
Yeah, he's a free agent. He's also 32, and as brilliantly as he pitched tonight, and man, was he good. He hasn't had a whip under 125 since 2005. He's fine, but why?
He could help solidify the starting rotation.
But he's not better than, you know, not even the ceilings of what the Jays have.
Well, the thing is, I'm actually running out of patience with a guy like Brett Cecil.
Okay, because he's 25?
He's been on a really long losing streak.
The Blue Jays have scored 11 runs for him in his last 8 starts, right?
Yeah.
And that long losing streak, he lost 2 games, 2-0. He had the same whip this year as he had last year when he won 15 games.
Hmm.
And he's 25. Yeah, how can you run out of patience with a 25-year-old starting pitcher?
It just seems that they've given him a lot of starts in a row, and he can't hold it, or he just gives it up. You know?
Yes, it does seem like it. Because he hasn't been winning.
What about Papelbon?
What about Papelbon?
What do you think of going after him?
Oh, I think that'd be a huge mistake. First of all, I hate the guy.
Oh.
I don't want to sit through 45-minute ninth innings, for one thing. But second of all, throwing a huge, big whack of money at a closer might be the worst thing that a team can do. So rarely does it work out, and so often do closers emerge from other places that you don't have to allocate that kind of money to.
But isn't it true that if you look at all the blown saves this year, if the Jays had won those games, they'd be in the playoffs now? Over 20 games, I think, were blown?
They blew 25 saves. They did win 7 of those games, or 8 of those games.
So another, let's say, 16 or 17 more wins.
Well, another 15. They were 7-15 in games in which they blew saves. But they were also 12-3 when the other guy blew a save. So if they were perfect, then wouldn't the other team be perfect too?
Perhaps.
Yeah, you can't have it quite both ways. They wouldn't have had 25 more wins if they were.
But I think the future is good.
I think the future is good too, Anthony, and I want you to have more patience. I really do. Don't run out of patience with 25-year-old starting pitchers. Andrew Nye has an update for you. Andrew Nye is good at that. When he's done being good at that, we'll talk to you some more. It is the Extendo Jays Talk on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
There's strike 3 called. He's caught looking, and you'll hear the boos intensify.
The 3-2 once again swung on and missed. Foul tip hung on to by Molina.
So Dunn for the second time on the night.
Pitch swing and a foul tip cut by Molina. He struck him out for a third time tonight. And the boos rain down on Dunn.
Three strikeouts for Adam Dunn tonight. He was half of Henderson Alvarez's victims. Alvarez struck out six, and he got Dunn three times. What a horrible signing that has been for the Chicago White Sox. Adam Dunn having one of the worst years ever in the history of anything. But the White Sox won anyway, 2-1 the final score. The St. Louis Cardinals lead the Houston Astros 13-6 in the top of the ninth inning. So they're going to be tied, barring an amazing collapse. And they'll be remembering an amazing collapse because last week they took a 6-2 lead into the ninth against the Mets and lost. They'd won that game and everything else had progressed the same way, even though it would have created a different space-time continuum. They'd be game up right now. But the Braves and Cardinals are going to be tied for the wild card in the National League. The Rays and Red Sox are tied for the wild card in the American League. I'm Mike Wilner. We're Jay's Talking It Up. And let's go to Darius in Toronto. Hello, Darius.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Just two quick points. I've been listening the last couple of nights, especially we've been talking a lot about the route that Alex is going to have to go as far as the trade route, more likely than the free agency avenue.
Yeah, and it's better. It's a better way to secure better players through trade
right.
than through free agency.
And I think, I mean, I'm just looking at rosters, just looking at other teams' needs versus what we have as far as our strengths. And I'm looking at San Francisco, and I'm thinking, you know, they're starving for offense. I think they're a leading home run hitter, had 14 home runs this year. I think they finished in the bottom three of the NL in OPS and batting average and runs scored.
Yeah, they're not good at hitting.
No.
No.
And I'm not saying that Adam Lind is Albert Pujols, but I mean, I'm thinking if we can use him as a piece, and then obviously some of the great prospects that we have in AA and AAA, Madison Bumgarner would be a great, great target. I don't know what it would take to get him. Probably a lot. I'm assuming you'd have to, you know, Travis Snyder, Adam Lind, and more to begin with.
Yeah, you know what, and that's why I hate getting into that because. You know, first of all, he's 22 years old.
Under team control for four more years.
And I don't think the San Francisco Giants are going to be even remotely interested in listening to anything on Madison Bumgarner. But if they were, and Alex Anthopoulos, we know, is a ninja and, you know, and kind of a Jedi and can make people bend to his will, we have no idea what it would take. And I think, though, if the Giants were going to go that route, they would probably move Jonathan Sanchez or... you know, maybe dangle a Matt Cain before they would trade Madison Bumgarner. I think that's kind of pipe dreamy, but right. I appreciate that you're thinking.
Yeah, no, and one last thing. I the caller before me, I believe, brought it up, and I was just thinking about it tonight actually as well. And you know, I'm thinking, I know that there's been rumors about their Yu Darvish potential, at least putting a bid in for him. And I mean, looking at Mark Burley. He is 32. He stated today, I think, he only wants to pitch another 3 years. You're not going to have to sign him to a 5-plus-year contract. He's probably, I'm going to guess, command 15 per year. That's probably going to be the same amount as just a bid for you, Darvish. And I know what your point was to the previous caller as far as, you know, why. But, I mean, 200 innings, 11 straight seasons, you know, consistent, no injury concerns. I just think that it might, you know, a nice, you know, kind of anchored at that three spot in the rotation for the next 3 years would be great. You know, would be a great,
But I don't think he's that good. And it's funny to say after seeing him do what he did tonight, because tonight he was phenomenal. And it seems like every time he pitches against the Blue Jays, he's fantastic. But this is a guy who, you know, gives up 10 hits per nine innings. He doesn't strike anybody out. His strength is that he doesn't walk people and that he keeps the ball in the ballpark and that he works really damn fast.
And also, Mike, I do agree that, yes, his whip's probably higher than you'd want it to be, but you have to remember he's a double play machine.
But that's in the AL Central, right? His whip's higher than you'd want it to be in the AL Central. And we're not in the AL Central.
That's true.
You know, and I'm just looking at him now. I'm very interested to see how he's performed against the beasts over the course of his career, because he's pitched for so bloody long that it is kind of significant. So let's take a look here and see against the Yankees and the Red Sox, because you can't look at the Rays because they sucked for most of his career. Against the Yankees, well, this is only ballparks. I want opponents. Here we go. In his career, Mark Burley is 1-8 with a 6.38 ERA in 12 starts against the Yankees. 6-6 with a 4.49 ERA and a whip of just over 1.5 against the Red Sox. So, you know, those are half-season samples. They're not huge. They certainly don't say everything about the guy. But the truth of the matter is, I don't want that guy at 33, 34, 35, just to have him as a, you know, someone I know is going to throw 200 innings and going to give up a lot of base runners. He, in four of the last seven seasons, Mark Burley has led the major leagues in hits allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this, give me Brandon Morrow. Give me Kyle Drabek. Brett Cecil is kind of a half version of Mark Burley. And in fact, Cecil and Burley almost had the exact same whip this year.
Yeah, I'd like to use Cecil in that possible trade for Baumgartner, to be honest with
you.
Yeah,
I wouldn't bet on it. Remember, too, and I appreciate the call, Darius, and I do like that you're thinking. But everybody out there has to remember, if you want to get rid of a guy, why is somebody else going to want him? You know? There was a caller who called in last night and says, this, and this are wrong with Adam Lind. Let's trade him for Joey Votto. Doesn't work that way. We're Extendo Jays talking it up all the way to midnight. And then Jeff Samut will take over. He will come on the radio and talk to you. He will play Ray Charles. Other things will happen. And he will have guests over the course of his 5 hours on the radio program. And enjoy him, because you're not going to get to hear him for another week and a half. But you're stuck with me till midnight. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. And checking the Twitter as well. And at Leeham96. So it's a picture of Ronald McDonald, for some reason, as his Twitter icon. Which four do I pick of Bautista, Rasmus, Davis, Thames, Loan, and Snyder? I don't know that you have to pick four. There might be room for five there. Bautista, Rasmus, and Davis definitely are on the team next year if they're all here. I think Thames is very nice. I think Snyder has a chance to be a lot better. I don't know how they're going to start next season. But I think one of them is probably going to be in left field next season, and the other one will be in AAA, because you can't have one of them on the bench as a fifth outfielder. It just doesn't work. They're both too good. So I don't know if they're both going to be back, but I don't think I've made any secret over the course of the last 6 months that I prefer Snyder long term. So I don't know if that answers your question. Shmoo66 wants to know, if I'm Joe Girardi, do you not start the worst possible lineup tomorrow to have a hand in eliminating the Red Sox? Of course not. First of all, it's bad enough that the Yankees say they don't have a starting pitcher for tomorrow. And as I mentioned earlier, Joe Girardi all of a sudden is complaining that there's only one day off between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs, as though he didn't know this in April. They only clinched the American League East a week ago. How are they supposed to possibly prepare for playoffs? I hate the Yankees. Sam is in Perry Sound. Hello, Sam.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good, man. You know what? I'm a big Lynn fan, and I think you should commend him for his adjustment and playing every day at first base.
He has done a great job at first base.
He did a great job.
Yes.
But I think the only thing I'm pursuing, I'm not pursuing the Japanese pitcher or any starter that's going to cost you a fortune, and I'm not throwing money at Papelbon as a closer. But I think if there's anything that, like you call him the silent assassin, can work for Votto, there's some intensity that is missing on this team. and you noticed it when Lowry wasn't around, and you notice it when Escobar's not around. And
what?
I was just in Tampa.
Escobar?
No, but I was just in Tampa watching these guys, and he brings a lot to the table when it comes to playing the game, and I think that he's an underrated. He could quite arguably be the best shortstop in the American League East right now.
I don't know that there's even an argument.
Well, I'm just saying,
that
intensity was not there all weekend. I mean, sure, it wasn't there Sunday, I can tell you that. And but I'm just thinking that if I'm throwing money, it's not going to be for a pitcher. It's got to be for an everyday player that's going to bring intensity to the ball team. And you know, and you have to give something to get something. And I hate to lose Lynn for anything. But I'm just saying, if you could bring a player, and I'm probably specifically saying Votto,
uh-huh,
his intensity, he's also going to protect Bautista in the order with that 330, 320 batting average. And the only other place of this team that I'm going after anything is the back end of that rotation. And I like Francisco. I think he's played very well this year, considering some of the adverse, you know, he had a lot of trouble at the start of the year.
Yes, he did. He's also a free agent, though. So
yeah, it's no, I appreciate that. But, I mean, there's some parts here, and I don't think there's a lot that's needed, but I think there's some intensity that needs to be brought to this team.
Yeah, it's not hockey, though. Intensity,
no, I appreciate
intensity
that.
Doesn't matter. Grind, grit doesn't mean anything. It's not about baseball. Is not about wanting it more than the other guy. You can want it a million times more than the other guy, and it's not going to help you win a baseball game at all.
But I think that when Bautista has to carry that on himself, he with Lowry in the order.
Lowry.
I'm just talking about with Lowry. With those guys in the order, they're just, I don't know, they're missing something.
Okay. I mean, you're the first person who this season has even mentioned the word intensity in the same sentence as Yunel Escobar. Yunel Escobar is an exceptional defensive player. And I don't disagree with you. And in fact, I'm a little more emphatic than you. I think slam dunk, he is the best shortstop in the American League East and has an argument of being the best shortstop in the league. Because Rubal Cabrera is part of that argument, it should be noted. But intensity? No. No, he's kind of lazy. Not on defense, but... But yeah, I mean, you're not going to win me over with a intensity talk because, again, wanting it more than the next guy doesn't help you in baseball. Playing better. I don't want the Blue Jays to get Joey Votto so that Joey Votto can lend intensity to the team. I want the Blue Jays to get Joey Votto because he's one of the best players in Major League Baseball. And if he slept between at-bats, I would still want Joey Votto on this team. Brian is in Barrie. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Mike. A couple quick questions for you.
Sure.
You were talking about Burley and how he's had a somewhat high of a whip and he gives up a lot of hits. And it harkened me back to Brandon Morrow and when they were kind of jokingly cheering when he got his first ground ball double play there.
Yep.
I was just wondering, you know, he's a young guy and he's got the best, you know, pitching coaches available. Can they not work on him to learn to throw a sinker ball? Because I think, like, he's got all the weapons. He's got a great arm, live fastball. If he could just throw that sinker ball to pitch more to contact, you know, I'm leery to compare him to Halliday, but Halliday, you know, when he came up, they changed the delivery and dropped his arm slot down so he could pitch more to contact and get more ground balls. I think that's what Morrow's really necessity is, to bring him to that next level. Have you heard any talk that pitching coaches are working on that with him? Or,
well, remember that Morrow, you know, he got 9 double plays last year. It's a freak coincidence that he went through this whole season without getting anybody to ground into a double play. You know, he's not Mark Burley. He's not Mr. Ground Ball by any means, but it's not something that's incredibly foreign to him. I think he'll be fine with the stuff that he's got. And maybe he needs to, I don't know, do you need to pitch more to contact when you're striking out 11 guys every 9 innings?
Well, I think because his, like, you look, he's got the stuff, even when he's throwing the gas and he's got great pitches, his pitch count gets up so high from striking guys out that, you know, for him to throw a complete game nine innings is almost next to impossible, because even if he's striking out every guy, you're going deep into the counts and his,
but it
and
doesn't,
his pitch counts.
But it's not always like that. His I mean, he's had high strikeout games where he's been able to go deep. I mean, last month against the Mariners, he took it into the seventh. He went six innings. He struck out 12 guys. All right, maybe that's not a good example because he only went six innings and threw 110 pitches. But he struck out six Orioles in 7 2/3 innings and threw 98 pitches. I mean, if you're striking people out, seven strikeouts over seven innings against the Mariners, 110 pitches, 10 strikeouts in seven innings against the Pirates, 117 pitches. If you're striking guys out, but you're not missing a lot and getting deep in counts and wasting pitches, then you're going to be okay. The problem is that he mislocates, that he's not consistent in the bottom part of the strike zone, so he gets hit. He gets deep in counts because he misses, and then he winds up striking the guy out. And, you know, if he could manage to cut that part down, then that would make him a lot better. I don't want Brandon Morrow to be turned into Kevin Brown. I don't want him to be Mr. Super Sinker Baller. I want him to be Brandon Morrow, who just doesn't throw as many pitches, who locates better, who throws quality strikes all the time, or at least the vast majority of the time. And we've seen him do that. And we've seen over his last two starts how good he can be. Last start against Tampa, seven innings, nine strikeouts, 113 pitches. Start before that against the Yankees, eight innings, eight strikeouts, 107 pitches. Nothing wrong with that. Andrew Nye is waiting again. Hate to keep Andrew Nye waiting. So we'll have one more segment of your phones when Andrew's done. A couple of lines open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's Extendo Jays Talk. Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
There's a high fly ball hit to center field deep. Back court, Colby Rasmus. He's running out of room, and Flowers has bloomed again. 1-0 Chicago.
Tyler Flowers hit a three-run homer last night, hits the solo shot tonight. Last night they needed the three. Tonight they only needed the one. Tyler Flowers has matched the Blue Jays' offensive output with one swing of the bat in each of the first two games of this series. As the White Sox beat the Blue Jays 2-1, the Jays cannot finish this season with a winning record. But they don't have to finish the season with a losing record. They're 80-81 with one game to go. They wrap it up tomorrow. As you just heard from Andrew Nye, if you missed it, then you didn't just hear it from Andrew Nye. But the Cardinals beat the Astros 13-6. Edwin Jackson finished it up. Jackson, Dotel, and Zepchinski all pitched in this game. And Corey Patterson drew a pinch hit walk in this game. So all the players that the Blue Jays sent over for Colby Rasmus contributing. And now the Cardinals go into the final game of the season tied for the wild card with the Atlanta Braves. The Cardinals are facing the Houston Astros, who happen to have the worst record in all of Major League Baseball. The Braves are facing the Phillies, who happen to have the best record in all of Major League Baseball. It's very cool. And it's cool in the American League, too, because the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays are tied. And just taking a look, trying to find some pitching matchups here for tomorrow. The Jays are playing in the afternoon, but everybody else is playing at night. The Red Sox will be throwing John Lester at Alfredo Simon and the Orioles tomorrow night, while David Price will start for the Rays against the Yankees, who have not named a starter yet because Joe Girardi was so thrown off by the playoffs starting early. The Phillies in Atlanta will throw Joe Blanton against Tim Hudson, who's 16-10. So that's a big chance for the Braves. While the Cardinals will have Chris Carpenter against Brett Myers in Houston. Very exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll all be after the Blue Jays are done with their year. Because we'll be back on tomorrow at 1 o'clock for the pre-game show. 2 o'clock, we hook up with the network at 2:10 first pitch Brandon Morrow against Philip Umber, final game of the season. The Blue Jays need a win to snap a four-game losing streak and to clinch a 500 season. And just quickly to fill you in, the Texas Rangers are leading the Angels 8-2. Detroit already beat Cleveland 9-6. So it appears as though the Rangers will remain a game ahead of the Tigers in the race for second place in the American League. The winner of that race gets the wild card team in the first round. The loser of that race gets the Yankees. Over in the National League, the Brewers beat Pittsburgh 6-4. Arizona is locked up 0-0 with the Dodgers in the top of the seventh inning. So the Brewers are currently a game and a half ahead of the Diamondbacks. And the Dodgers just scored on an RBI single by D. Gordon. So it's 1-0 Dodgers over the Diamondbacks in the bottom of the seventh. If that score holds, or if the Dodgers go on to win, then that means Milwaukee secures the second seed in the Central, and they would play the Braves if Atlanta was the wild card. Or they would have home field against the Diamondbacks if St. Louis wins a wild card. Lots of fun, lots of combinations and permutations and stuff and phone calls to get to. Till midnight, Mike is in Toronto. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike. I won't waste too much time. I just heard over the course of the last month a lot of callers ripping on Adam Lind. I mean, this is his first year at first base, and they're trying to compare him to guys like Joey Votto, Prince Fielder, you know, guys like that. I think it's unfair. I just want to know what you feel about that.
I don't think anybody's really comparing Adam Lind to Joey Votto and Prince Fielder. I think what they're doing is saying the Blue Jays have Adam Lind. They'd be better off with Joey Votto or Prince Fielder. And as much as I love Adam Lind, you can't really argue against that. I mean, you're talking about two of the best hitters in the major leagues. And Adam Lind is not one of the best hitters in the major leagues. He's had a very good year for what he's had to do. If you look at his batted ball profile, then you can see that he's probably been kind of unlucky and maybe should have wound up with an on-base percentage closer to 335, 340 than the 300 that it's been. But he's hit a bunch of home runs, and he's done all right. But what he's done has not been good enough for a number four hitter on a team that wants to win something.
I agree, but I still think it's unfair that they because they want Votto here and they want Fielder here. That's not going to happen.
Might happen.
It's not going to happen, Mike.
Might happen.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think Fielder's coming, but I don't see why the Blue Jays couldn't get Joey Votto. If the Cincinnati, we're not getting into the what would it take. We're not. But whatever it would take, the Blue Jays have it. And they have it more than almost any other team in the major leagues.
But would the Reds be willing to
that's
to
the
let
question.
Votto go?
If they're not, then you can't get him. If they are, then you can get him. And if you can get him, it would serve you well to get him.
Can I comment one more thing about
sure.
Kelly Johnson?
Yeah.
Is he really the best second baseman available this winter?
Without question.
Then I think the Jays are in trouble.
Okay. But remember, there's a whole big trade market, too. And I know the Blue Jays, many of the people who call this program, I want to paint you all with the same brush. Many of the people who call this program really only see what's in front of them. Kelly Johnson has been an elite-level offensive second baseman more than once over the course of his major league career. Where are we going, Joe? Up next, we have Alan in Toronto. Hello, Alan.
First off, Mike, Happy New Year and best of everything to you and yours for the next 2 days.
Thank you, and you as well.
Thanks a lot. Molina could have had a double if he would have hustled off the plate in the seventh inning, that looping single. You know, it was high, and it was high enough that he could have gone to second. But then again, he's not known for his speed, I guess.
It's Jose Molina.
Yeah,
if Jose Molina hits a pop-up, I want him standing safely somewhere in the vicinity of first base when that ball hits the ground.
Exactly.
He would have been meat cake at second. That ball could have been up there for 10 minutes. I don't want him going to second base.
And as far as the MVP, I'm voting for Verlander. I'm casting my vote for Verlander because don't forget, a pitcher is the team. As far as I'm concerned, he is the team. The rest of the players work for him. You know, I'm not saying he's an island. No man is an island, of course.
Right.
But The offense tries to get him runs. The defense tries to prevent runs, so he is the team. And Verlander has a he's had a standout season. You can't say Bautista and Granderson and Ellsbury and Cabrera. They're not a case can be made for either one of them, but they're not clear-cut favorites. And because they're not clear-cut favorites, then he should be the MVP. And don't forget, a starting pitcher faces more hitters. He has more plate appearances than a hitter does.
So. Yeah, but a hitter when he plays defense has chances that even that up, and a position player has an opportunity to contribute in every game. As much as you want to say that a starting pitcher is the team, for on the day that he pitches, I think for the most part, you're right, especially a guy who can suck up innings like Verlander does. But Justin Verlander had no effect at all on 128 of the Detroit Tigers games this year. None whatsoever. And I don't know how that can be the MVP unless he's having an otherworldly season and there isn't any offensive player who's doing anything. Allen's gone. That's too bad. I wanted an answer there. Justin Verlander has had no effect at all on 128 of the games that the Detroit Tigers have played. Tough for me to call that an MVP. Ross is in Toronto. Hello, Ross.
Oh, hi, Mike. I'm just wondering about the Jays, if they would have had Markham Holiday and also
they would
Romero.
Not have. There was no opportunity for them to have Roy Halladay this year.
No, not this year. I mean, like, if you think about years back, let's just say, for example, if Bautista, hit his stride.
Yeah.
A year before or 2 years.
So we're talking like there are unicorns and rainbows and fairies and stuff.
Okay.
What if the Blue Jays had Babe Ruth and he was like 28 years old? How awesome would that be?
Yeah, but just think if even one season before.
But it didn't happen.
Okay, but what would have happened if like the philosophy of the general manager of the Jays were to keep their pitchers, like their starting pitchers. Wouldn't they have enough?
Then they wouldn't have Brett. They wouldn't have Brett Laurie right now. They wouldn't have Brett Laurie right now. They would have some nondescript first round pick that nobody would have ever heard of, but everyone would think is the next great thing for Roy Halladay, who was 5 years away.
But they have Bautista. They have Lynn. And they could have picked up free agents to get guys like Escobar with their smart GM.
This is pure, it's fiction.
Well, it's just spending extra money.
It's not, because who knows what would have happened if they hadn't traded Roy Halladay. They wouldn't have Brandon Morrow, for one thing. They wouldn't have never have signed Alex Gonzalez, so they wouldn't have Yunel Escobar.
Well, they would have Romero, Halladay, Markham.
Yeah. But they wouldn't have Halladay because he'd be gone. He'd have left as a free agent after last year. This is more for fantasy leagues, Ross, than anything else. I mean, join a fantasy league and you can draft all these guys and see what would happen. But I'd like to try to keep this somewhat anchored in reality. Bill is in Toronto, and Bill, you get the award for the subject that you want to talk about that brought out the most creative spelling from Matt Brown.
Oh, I would like to know how he spelt that.
Gerailinium. I thought you wanted to talk about flowers for a second.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, we can do that after.
Let's talk about gerilinium, which is some sort of new...
Gerilinium or geranium.
Where is gerilinium on the periodic table?
GE7, I believe.
All right.
Does he get a start tomorrow, in your opinion, Brian
Gerolman? I hope so. It's mean. It's actually mean to have a guy in the major leagues for 5 weeks and not even get him into one single game.
Even as an ironic pinch runner, per se.
And you've got to get him into a game.
One step further to that, I've noted, you know, people have made the argument to me, hey, his paycheck's bigger. That's all fine and good. He's not a part of the future. That's all fine and good. He's been there for 5 weeks, and I wondered at some point when I saw the lineup today, with both Molina and JP playing tonight and tomorrow being a day game after a night game,
yeah,
and the last day of the season when traditionally speaking, you know,
I don't know
you
if they'll have him
I,
catch.
You and I are in the lineup if we're on the roster.
I don't know if they would have him catch Brandon Morrow. And today, I was wondering, I thought, you know what, when Alvarez comes out, maybe Brian Gerolman comes in.
Okay.
But with Aaron Sebia and Molina both due up in the ninth, they didn't. John Farrell didn't make that change.
And it was still a close game.
And it was still a close game. But you know what? At some point, Jamie Campbell brought this up to me. Imagine if you're Brian Gerolman and you never get back to the major league.
Well, I've already nicknamed him.
What, Moonlight Gerolman?
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't get it through the blog. It blocks it. He's Moonlight Gerolman. The only time I'll ever see him play is in an Iowa cornfield 50 years from now.
It's so sad. It really is. I mean, they lost 14-0, 16-4. There have been blowouts. There have been chances for the Blue Jays to get Brian Gerolman in a game.
Oh, there have been a million chances.
And it would make me sad if he doesn't play tomorrow.
I
don't care what the score is. I don't care what I don't care what anything is.
No, that bright light opened up in my head today when I saw both JP and Molina playing, and I thought, okay, day after night game. I hadn't thought of the Morrow angle because JP's getting more comfortable with him, and that's something that finally we can put to rest. Morrow and Molina have to be together.
Oh God, I hope so.
Well, it's been proven wrong. Last two starts have both been JP.
Yes. But that doesn't always prove it for everybody. I think the beauty of it will be when Molina's not here next year.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to see sink or swim Brandon Morrow, and he'll have no problem at all.
No, he shouldn't.
Thank you for the call, but I appreciate you bringing tomorrow. It up. And I hope he plays tomorrow. I really do. It's gotten to the point now where it's just wrong that he hasn't gotten to play. Arnold is in Ottawa. Arnold, I think you're going to be the last one on a post-game Jays talk this year. You better be good.
I'm first and last, first-time caller.
All right.
On this Bluetech phone here, this VTech phone, I guess.
Oh, did you win it?
Yeah.
Nice.
First week of September.
Good job.
Yeah. It's really nice. Get a chance. Put your name in.
Yeah, I got
callers.
One. They kind of give me one.
It's all right. I don't know, you don't probably get into the ABCs of rating the players that the Blue Jays have.
No.
But... me, I think they got a core of four. This is just me. Like Batista, I'd give him, for me, I'd say, okay, an A+.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd look at your shortstop, and I'd say, okay, he's an A- to an A.
Okay.
You know, depending upon his hustle when he's not on defense.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say you got your catcher. I'd say he's probably a B, maybe a B+, first year. And I go with Lori, and I would say B, maybe B+, but it's a small, you know, he hasn't been in there very long. Next year he may fall on his head.
Yeah, he might.
Small sample.
Arnold, thank you for the call, for your ratings. I love that you don't know the names of Yunel Escobar and JP Aaron Sebia. That's okay. But how could you not mention Ricky Romero? He's got to get an A+. And so does Casey Jansen. Casey Jansen had a phenomenal season for the Blue Jays. Best reliever on this team, and not out of nowhere by any means, but definitely unexpected. That's going to do it. Jeff Sammet's next. Thanks to all of you for calling. We will have a pregame Jays talk tomorrow at 1 o'clock, since we won't have a postgame Jays talk, as we work our way into game 162. Thanks to Matt Brown. Thanks to Joe Sicilia. Thanks to you for listening. Go vote for Tom Cheek. Good night.